I am standing beneath your wings. I am resting in your shelter. Your great faithfulness has been my shield, and it makes me want to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be of the Lord. I will bless your holy name for all my days. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, for you daily bear my burdens. Your great faithfulness has been my reward, and it makes me want to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will bless your holy name for all my days. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sing it, church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will bless your holy name for all my days. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Can I get this mic on right there? We go, it's on. I told Pastor Reed I'd like to say a little something before he started, and he said, that's fine. But when Cecil testified, I talked to him last week, and I said, you know, something the Lord's dealt with me about for a good long while is the need for being in a faith environment. I thought about how Jesus, when he went to the home of Jairus to raise his daughter up, he got there and he found the room where she was all full of folks crying and mourning and carrying on and weeping and hollering, and he told them all to step out of the room, and he just kept Peter, James, and John in there so he could have faith people in there with what he was trying to do. I remember a story, Kenneth, years ago, Vestal Goodman. I woke up, I'm in the breakfast table this morning, I heard her singing in my head, so Wanda and I have been singing one of her songs all the way up here. But she was sick and in the hospital, and this is way before she died. She's had some serious problems. Kenneth, a lot of people had come and prayed for her, and she asked Kenneth Copeland, or he called and told her he'd like to come pray for her. When he got there, it was just Vestal and her husband Howard in the room. If anybody don't know who Vestal and Howard Goodman are, just Bible says, let the ignorant stay ignorant. Now, well, they well-known gospel, soul gospel singers. So Brother Copeland said to Howard, he said, Howard, you believe God's going to raise Vestal up and heal her? And Howard said, well, I sure hope so. And now he's talking to her husband. He said, Brother Howard, I love you. He said, but I'm going to need you to step out of the room. We can't have any unbelief in here. We're about to get this woman healed. So it's about faith and environment. Now, I'm trying not to make a sermon out of this, Brother Reed. But I was thinking, then we took up the offering, and I saw that scripture that said, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you. So who is it that controls whether or not it's given to me? It's me. Not God, it's me. He said, give and it shall be given to you. And then it said, and the measure you use is the measure that will be returned back to you. Who is it that controls how much I get back? It's me. How much I give is it controls how much I give back. Now, this is a faith church, and I shared this with somebody not long ago, and I wanted to say, too, that there was an offering taken up to help a widow that was having some problems, so she kind of got left with a financial mess, and not of her husband's fault, but he had always paid the bills, and then he had so much sickness time that she didn't know things that he had overlooked and all that while he was sick. And so she sent Robert a reply back, a thank you note on Facebook, and I'm sure some of y'all saw it. But it's amazing that a church this size, I know a couple of churches recently that are having to close up with probably as many people as we have right here because they don't have enough finances to pay the pastor and his salary. But their people have never been taught about giving and receiving. And you, boy, you got a track record here with Dr. Gary Price being here for 20 years. And a lot of them Sundays, Scott would get up and take up, receive the offering, y'all know. And he didn't do no 3-minute offering taking ups. Because even though we've heard it, we got taught over and over and over again why we're giving and what we can expect as a return of that giving. So anyway, all I wanted to say is I'm thankful to be where, a place where I can come to a place where there is a faith environment. I know if the devil comes at me, whether it's financially, sickness, or whatever it might be, there's some folks in this place that know how to pray in faith and know how to act in faith too, which includes our giving. So I'm thankful to get to come here sometimes and just be blessed by the environment that's in this church.
Praise the Lord. All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right, all right. Yes, sir. So we see Verizon don't have nothing on us. Our media team, they is on the ball. Amen. This morning, thanks to God, I'm not going to be before you long, but we'll allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. Let us pray. Our Father, most gracious God, we just come to you this morning in the name of Jesus, thanking you, Father God, once again for this opportunity to gather in your name, Father God. And we ask in the Holy Spirit to rise up big within each and every one. Let the word fall on fuller ground, touch the heart that is hardened, Father God. Father God, we ask and let your word go forth, Father God, with all the blessing that resides within each and every one of us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, thanks to God, like I said, I'm not going to be before you long. And I'll be coming out of John 10:10, a very familiar passage of scripture. And it's read as following. The thief come not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So you say, thanks to God. It's funny how Judah came up and, you know, she was talking about, you know, abundance and worthy and stuff. So last night, as I was studying and stuff and trying to get things exactly the way it to flow and everything like we was taught in school, you know, you take your little notes and you write them down, and then you get them where they can flow and everything. And I was going and going and going. And I said, man, and I started getting frustrated. I said, okay, well, I know God is not author of confusion and give us frustration and everything. So I pulled back and I sat and everything and got myself back together again. But then, it's all of a sudden, God, it just show you how good God is. God is a good God. Even in a bad situation to us, God is still good. So thanks to God, as I was sitting there and everything, it came to me, and it was late this morning, and everything still working on and trying getting together and for the printed out and everything. But like I said, God got everything in control. I'm like I'm frustrated because it wasn't coming together like, you know, I wanted. And then I thought, well, it's not me. Holy Spirit, I'm leaving it up to you. It's up to you to have the message delivered to the people. So saints of God, as I said, Jesus said in John 10:10 that he came to give us life that is filled with abundance. He doesn't want us just existing in needs and want, but want us to experience the fullness of what he has to offer. You see, saints of God, as you consider your life, do you sense you are walking in fullness of scripture, or are you are in a place of want and need that never seem to be filled? That's a question that we have to ask your own self. You have to ask your own self, am I still in want? Am I doing the things that I want to do according to the word? Am I being fulfilled? You know, and everything just fell into place. What Judy had said, what Tammy had us to decree, all of it come to the abundance of life. So according to Matthew 6:25-33, we are not to worry or even be considered about our basic need in life, such as food, shelter, and clothing. If we are seeking first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto us. So, saints of God, why are we do a lack of anything? Because we must seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto us. He said that he had come to give us life and more abundantly. So we got to stand on his word, saints of God. I believe there's a spiritual fullness that God is really trying to deposit into our life that is much more important than our basic need. It is when we are walking in spiritual fullness of all that he has to pour into our soul and spirit that our basic need and much more are taken care of. So, thanks to God, it's not just our physical need, but it is our spiritual need. We got to continue to feed our spiritual need, not just going to the table and feed our face with natural food. We got to continue to feed our spirit with spiritual food. So you see, thanks God, in Isaiah 55:2-3, it's saying, why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Decline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercy of David. So you see, saints of God, we got to be careful when we're going out there trying to satisfy our fleshly need. When we do that, we got to be careful on the things that we do. We spend what we see, what we look at, what we eat. When it comes down to it, the things that we eat in natural food, we have to be careful, but we have to listen to the word. We got to study the word. We got to meditate on the word in order to be filled with the abundance of life. See, this scripture pointed out that the prayer of an empty soul and how vain it is to put your trust in the things of the world and carnal pleasure. We got to be careful, saints of God, how we put our attention and our focus on this world, on these worldly things and the things going on in the world. You see, as Christians who have been born again by God's Spirit, it's foolish foolish to trust in the empty things of this life. In order to be truly satisfied in this life, we must invest our life in those things that have eternal value, rather than those things that are temporal value. So, you know, I'm not saying that you go out and not invest in, you know, your money and stuff, but you got to be careful about how you do it. But when you do that, don't forget to invest into your eternal. That's the important. That's the point I'm trying to make, saints of God, to invest in your eternal value, not this worldly value. Yes, we, you know, it'd be wise to put, you know, a couple of dollars aside and keep investing and whatnot here. You know, that might be for your children. It might not be for you. It might be for your children, like Tammy declared this morning, inheriting. So I'm not saying, you know, go out there and, well, I'm not leaving nothing, because some people have that mentality. Man, I worked all my life for this. I'm going to spend. I ain't leaving nothing. But we can't do that, saints of God. That is not scripture. Scripture said, be blessed and leave inheriting and stuff on there. But most important, not just think about the inheritance of what you're going to leave here on earth, but the inheritance that you is building up in for eternal life. Amen. Amen? So you see, saints of God, in contrast to having an empty soul, I believe it is God's deepest desire for each of us to experience God meeting our deepest need with a spiritual fullness that flow from his being. Not from my being, not from Dr. Howard being, but from God's being, from his spirit. As we listen to him and follow his instructions, our soul will delight in his abundance. His desire is to bring us into a place of spiritual fullness. And I guarantee you, saints of God, when you have that spiritual fullness, the natural fullness, it won't compare. Because you'll have that fullness and you'll have the assurance that I can go out there and I can, matter of fact, I can fast a little bit more to lose, you know, a couple pounds. I can fast a little bit to get rid of these sickness and diseases. Because sometimes we might not realize, saints of God, the things that we put in our body and the things when way we eat, they cause sickness. So we have to be careful, saints of God, on that, and be fed by the spirit of fullness. And we see in Psalm 36 and 8, it says, Psalm 36 and 8. I didn't write that one down. It says, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasure. So you see, saints of God, they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you're giving them drink from the river of your pleasure. So, in other words, saints of God, all that abundance, it's not coming from me. It's coming from God. God said that he have come for the abundance, give you life and more abundantly. So it's not for what you could do. It's what God do, what God does. When I use the word spiritual fullness, what are some of the things that come to your mind? Let me give you an idea of what I'm talking about. What is meant by spiritual fullness? The fullness of God's blessing constitutes the following: God and his presence, wisdom and understanding, divine guidance, healing, financial, emotional needs, peace, righteousness, joy, freedom from guilt, knowledge of God's will, which is a big one, and spiritual rest. How many of you can say that I have these fullness right here, the spiritual fullness of God? These are some of the fullness, spiritual fullness of God, thanks to God, that we should be each and every day seeking and searching for. When I think of spiritual fullness, I think of being abundantly satisfied in each of these areas, and you should too, saints of God. You should be satisfied with God and His presence, with financial, with emotional need, with joy, with knowledge of God's will, with healing, with divine guidance. When you think about that, that's what each and every day, that's what you need to be thinking on. So I believe God wants us to open our mouth wide and be filled. Psalms 81 and 10 said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. So like I said this morning, words have power. Words is powerful. And the only time you can get words out is when you speak them. You got to speak to your situation, saints of God. No matter what's going on, you have to speak to it. Yes, I can speak, I can speak words of encouragement. But you, it's come down to you, saints of God, each individual, to speak the word of life. Speak blessing, not curse. Speak healing, not sickness. Speak life, not death. But it must come out of your mouth, saints of God, in speaking. Like Caesar said this morning, he felt the prayers of the saints, but it still came down to who? To Caesar. To speak it, believe it, and receive it. So, saints of God, we got to speak the word, because words have power. Don't just be mumbling, Lord, I maybe. But speak boldly. You got to come, words that come boldly to the throne of grace. So when you come boldly, you ain't coming dragging. Or you shouldn't come dragging. Come boldly to the throne of grace and speak. Sometimes, like when you sort of angry with your child, when they do something and everything, you get angry with them, your voice rises a little bit, you get angry, and you project words. You ain't like, well, Darius, didn't I tell you? Well, Daniel, didn't I tell you? No. Didn't I tell you? And see, that's what we need to do with God. Just speak out and let them words flow into the atmosphere. We cannot be scared, saints of God, because God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. We got to speak the word. We got to speak to our situation. We got to speak to our financial. We got to speak to our emotional. We got to speak to our mind. We got to speak to our jobs. We got to speak healing, thanks to God. We have to continue to be angry with the devil. We got to keep him under our feet. Because every opportunity that we give him, he's going to take it. Like the old saying said, you give an inch, he's going to take a mile. But if you look at it, that inch might not seem much, but you keep on giving that inch and he turn into a mile, that's a long way to trying to kick somebody out of your life. So, saints of God, we got to continue to focus on the word. We got to continue to believe what God said. I am blessed. And I believe that he wants me to be spiritual full with his blessing and abundantly. Not just enough for me, but with an overflow. You want, Don't just pray for, well, Lord, did enough for me to get by. But, Lord, bless me with abundance, with overflow that I can help somebody else. See, when you have blessed and overflow, it's just like you imagine a cup in a saucer. And it's just steady filling up. It's running over. It's running into the saucer. The cup, it's full. My cup's runneth over. It's full, but the saucer, I can still hand out. I'm still blessed, and I can still hand out to others. So, saints of God, that's what we have to live, be encouraged about this morning, saints of God. Just encouragement, word, and everything that God, he is faithful, and he wants to give you abundant life. He said he came to give you life and life more abundantly, but it left up to you to receive that life. We see in Psalms 81 and 10, it said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. As we open our mouth wide, we are preparing our heart to receive the fullness of all that God has to offer us, which include all things that pertaining unto life and godliness. So, in other words, saints of God, open your mouth, speak. You have not because you ask not. If I'm sitting up here and I'm hungry, and although thank God that I know how to cook, but if I didn't know how to cook and everything, and I didn't tell my wife, okay, tell me, I'm hungry. You know, I'm just sitting up there starving. But I got to open my mouth and let her know that, Tammy, I am hungry. Could you fix me something? Could you fix me a dinner? Could you fix me a breakfast? Could you fix me something? You know, a bologna sandwich only goes so far. You know, come on. You know, on that. But we got to open our mind. The point is, saints of God, you have to open your mouth and speak. That's the point here. Open it wide and speak the word. So in Psalms 16 and 11, it says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness or joy. At your right hand are pleasure forevermore. So you see, saints of God, when we open our mouths, he will show us the path of life. In his presence, there are fullness of joy. How many of you want joy? Not the joy and peace that the world gives, but you want the joy of the Lord. You want the peace of God that passes all understanding. See, but how can you get that joy? You going to get that joy just sitting there with your mouth closed? No. Open your mouth and speak. Virtue keys to receiving abundant life with spiritual fullness is now that we know that God really desires each of us to be abundantly satisfied for the fullness of his house, let's look at some various keys and open our mouths and receiving from him. One, have a heart to thirst and seek God. You must have a heart to thirst and seek God. Psalm 61, 63, and 1 said, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. Also, heart to thirst and seek after God, Matthew 5 and 6. It said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We see also Psalms 143 and verse 6. Spread out your hand to you. Spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. To long after God implied in the Hebrew word to seek is to seek greedily. It is a very aggressive word. This word involves intense prayer and fasting on occasion in addition to your regular time of prayer and worshiping. Personal and corporate worship are ways of thirsting after God. So, in other words, saints of God, in your it's good to have your personal time of praying and worship. But it's also good to come together. How good is man it is for brethren to come together. Because when that unity there, there's more strength. We have more strength. So like Caesar said, you know, yes, he was praying. I believe he was praying and everything. But the strength of corporate prayer that we sent up, he even felt it. That's strong. And that's what we need, saints of God, in this time and age. We need corporate prayer. We need it so that every time Satan would look our way, he'll think twice. The word said, he will flee from you. Yes, he'll come back again, but if you continue to pray and have corporate prayer and stuff, he's going to think twice. Okay, well, I ain't going to word faith. I am not hitting them right now. I'm going somewhere else. They're going to slow him down even more because you got to be serious, saints of God. Amen? So you see, to long after God, we have to speak, we have to seek with our whole heart. Psalms 107, verse 9 said, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filled the hungry soul with goodness." This would include a lot of time praying in the spirit as well. It's when we pray in the spirit that we build ourselves up in God and grow in faith that he's filled with a fullness that only he can bring. Sometimes, saints of God, a lot of people, they don't believe in speaking in tongues, praying in the spirit. They don't believe it. They think that's when the apostles went, all that went with them. But that's not true, saints of God. Build yourself up in your most holy faith, speaking in tongues, praying in tongues. But, you know, sometimes people... Nowadays, you don't hear people talking about speaking in tongues. You don't hear people talking about the blood. You don't hear people talking about fasting anymore. But that is not dead, saints of God. Like I said, even fasting, it ain't gonna hurt. I don't think it's gonna hurt nobody to push you back. You know, a little bit from the table. But do it for the right reason. Don't do it just because, okay, well, I'm just going to do it because I want to lose weight. But fast because you want to give time to God. Amen. And do it that way. Because like I said, people don't talk about fast and don't talk about the covered up blood of Jesus and what it done. They don't talk about speaking in tongues. So you see, saints of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, he said, "Who speak in a tongue edify himself, but he who prophesy edifies the church." So you see, saints of God, speaking in tongue, it is not dead. It's not be put away with. It builds yourself up and it edifies the church. You're still seeking. You're still seeking. You're still hungry after God. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. "But you, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. You see, saints of God, number two, how to become of to receive abundant. Be committed to God's purpose and destiny for your life. Be committed to God's purpose and destiny for your life. 2 Timothy 1:9 said, God who have saved and called us with a holy calling, not according to our work, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time begun. Because we are saved, saints of God, and called according to God's purpose, he has created each of us uniquely in a grace and destiny that is to be worked out in alignment with his own purpose and grace. Not our own purpose, not our own time, but his own time, purpose, and grace. You see in Psalms 139, verse 16 and 17, said, your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book there all was written, the day fashioned for me, when all yet there was none of them. Now, precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. So you see, all of this is our destinies, our purpose for our life. We are committed to God. David understood that God had already marked out a destiny for him and that he committed his ways unto the Lord. It will be worked out. So, saints of God, have you really committed yourself to the calling on your life? Have you really committed yourself for the purpose of your life? Something to think about as you seek and hunger and thirst after God's righteousness. The more we seek to come into alignment and commit ourselves to the path that God had prepared for our life, the more of his abundantly and pleasure we will be able to partake of. In other words, saints of God, the more we yield, the more abundant that he give. Like the old saying, sir, how can you receive when your hand is closed? You got to open up your hand and loose your time. You got to open up your hands to loose your gift. You got to open up your hands to loose your givings. You got to open up and let go in order for God to fill you with abundance. Amen. So you see, David, he understood all this. So the more we seek and align ourselves with our death purpose, destiny, and purpose of God, the more abundant we will become, more fulfillment or abundant that we will become. See, his abundance is found in the paths he has chosen for us. Not our paths that we take, but his paths. See, sometimes you can go down a path and that you think is more greener, but God's path is much more abundant, more fruits, much more, you know, vegetable, much more meat. You might see a steak over here on your path, but you have steak, shrimp, caviar, everything on the path that God have set out for you. So, saints of God, pay attention to the path that you take, because, like I said, and you will find abundance in God's path, the destiny and purpose that he has set out for you. Also, number three, have a real love for the time you spent with God and his word. Have a real love for the time you spent with God and His Word. It is as we purpose to spend time in God's Word that we really get to know Him and how He thinks. Not how we think or how we want to think, but how He thinks. The more we, thanks God, the more you in the Word of God and study to show yourself approved, the better off you will be. Better, matter of fact, the more Word that you have within you, the more ability that the Holy Spirit will have to bring those words out when you is tempted, when you is sick, when things is chaotic in your life and everything. So study and spend time in God's Word. About a month or two ago, I gave out a list of healing scripture, divine healing scripture. And I, like I told the saints, just read them, you know, while you're sitting down looking at TV, have them right there, you know, study. More focus on the Word than on the TV. When you just sitting down doing nothing, waiting on Tammy to cook. Read. Study. See what I'm saying? Use your time wisely, saints of God. That's what God wants. And that's what we really need. So we see Romans 12 and 2. And it said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, in other words, this stuff that's going around, don't be conformed. Don't what's going on. I'm not saying ignore it, but don't be conformed to it. Transfer your mind and renew your mind, not just once in a while, but daily. Renew your mind daily. That will help you in spending time with God and His Word. You see, Psalms 1, I know it's a lot of scripture. Psalms 1, verse 1 and 3 to 3. Blessed is the man who delight in the law of the Lord, and His law he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he doth shall profit. So you see, saints of God, spending time with God in His Word, you will be like a tree planted by, you know, by water. You'll be like a tree that got fertilized. You'll be like a tree that been taken care of, that been pruned for to bring more fruit. You'll be like that tree and everything that bring good fruit. Because sometimes, you know, trees that you have and everything, if you don't prune and you don't take care of them and everything, they'll bring bad fruit. They'll bring the bad apple, the bad peaches and stuff. But spending time in God's Word, saints of God, it'll help you to bring life to yourself. It helps you to live life more abundantly. It will help you not only yourself, but that overflow of Word will help you to help someone else that is struggling with the Word. You can speak the Word. You can open your mouth and speak the Word to someone else. Aren't that our job? They command us to do that anyway. Go out all the world and preach the gospel. So that's a command that we are told to do anyway. So how can we go out there and do it and not really believe? That's why a lot of people don't do it or don't go out and witness, because they don't have the Word in them themselves. They don't know the Word, or they got a little bit of the Word, but they're so afraid, which it shouldn't be, that they're going to make a mistake in saying something. But the Holy Spirit, that's what the Holy Spirit is there for, to bring it back up. You put it in, the Holy Spirit will bring it back up to witness to somebody. So you start. Like I was teasing Sharon and Kelson them the other day, choir rehearsal. You know, I said, you know what, Pastor, he should give everybody in here 5-10 minutes a popcorn service. Because it started at home, witnessing, speaking. Just getting up there, yeah, and just speaking the word. And that way you will learn how to, they're just like a child. You teach them at home before you send them out to school. But a lot of people got the mentality, well, you go to school, let them teach you, I ain't got to do nothing. But no, that's the wrong mentality. You teach them at home, and when they get to school, the teacher won't have that big of a problem in teaching them. It is our responsibility, men, to teach our children. See, we put that on our wife. I'm guilty. We put it on our wife and everything. Well, you do it. You teach them. But that's not their response. They the helpmate. We supposed to be teaching. So that's a good thing. We teach them. We sit down. We study together. We do things together to teach our kids, to teach other. Because sometimes I be studying. I'm like, Tammy. I know. I'm like Pastor now, picking on Tammy. Tammy Day. I would be like, Tammy, what's so-and-so, so-and-so? And she like, oh, okay, well, it's so-and-so, so-and-so. It found it so-and-so, so-and-so. All the while, you know, I know the strip, but sometimes it's hard for the find where it's located, what book is in, or what verse, and everything on there. So, you know, but you at least when I go out and I might not say, well, so-and-so found in some so-and-so, so-and-so, but I can speak the word. That's the important. Speak the word, saints of God. Know the word, speak the word. It ain't got to be, well, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. They found in Psalms 23. Just speak the word. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Jesus said that he came to give us life and life more abundantly. I might not know where it's found at, but I'm speaking the word. It is the word. So get out that mentality. Well, I got to know exactly where it's found at. Yes, it's good to know where it's found at, but when you get that word down in you, that's the most important. Get it down in you, saints of God. I'm almost finished. Psalms 4. You must be spiritual minded. You must be spiritual minded. Romans 8:6 said, for to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. So who want to be carnal minded? I hope nobody in here want to be carnal minded, but spiritual mind, where you have life and peace and joy and abundant, more abundantly. Spiritual minded. To be spiritual minded is to resist the old way of thinking that come from being carnal minded and to completely, repeat that again, completely trust in God and God's way. Proverbs 3:5-6 said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusted in you. Spiritual minded. He will keep you in perfect peace, saints of God. If you keep your mind on him, like Philippians 4, whatever so then is just, pure, those are some good thoughts that you can start with. I always say, go back to Philippians 4 and read that. Meditate on that. If you ain't got nothing else to think on those things, what is good. How good God been to me. You can start out with that. That's a good testimony, how good God is to me. He woke me up this morning. I'm in the land of the living, not in the land of the dead. See, just things that we can do, thanks to God, to keep our spirit minded and keep our mind off the worldly things. Isaiah, number 5. I'm going, like I said, I ain't going to be long. Number 5. Be a generous giver in all error of your life. I'm not just talking about your generous giving with money, but with your time, with your talent. Call someone. You know, sometimes some people don't even get a call. They don't see nobody. When I was a mailman and everything, these old couples and stuff, they would sit at their door waiting on me to come. Some of them said, man, I can set my clock by your time. I've tried to be just like, you know, around that within 15 or 20 minutes, delivering their mail and everything. And they be sitting there waiting because sometimes I'd be the only person they see that day speaking to them. How you doing? Good day. Are you feeling okay? You know, just speak to them. And they look for that. So just take a time out of your busy schedule, saints of God, and just call somebody. Call another saint. How you doing? Just calling, checking up on you. Do you need anything? It ain't gonna hurt. Sometimes, you know, you call them, and they might say, well, could you so-and-so, so-and-so? Give you time. Okay, well, tell them. I'll be right over. So being a generous giver, it don't, like I said, don't mean just give your money, but your time, your talent. Spiritual fullness and abundance come from being a generous giver in every aspect of your life, which includes serving, spiritual gift, hospitality, loving other, our financial, and more. So that's our duty, saints of God. Just to love on them, to love one another. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 8. But this I say, who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purpose in his heart, not grudgingly of a necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficient in all things, may have abundance for every good work. Once again, thanks God, abundantly. That overflow. Malachi 3 and 10, it said, bring all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, said the Lord of hosts, if I would not open up the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it. How many want that, thanks to God? Yep. I shouldn't see no hands in here, said, well, I don't want that. Every hand should fly up. Matter of fact, both hands should fly up. That's what you want. Open up the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing so much abundantly that you can't even receive it. You have to give it away. And see, that's what God wants for us. He wants to bless us in abundance that not only just for us, but to just give it away. Like Pastor always said, this church, it's a giving church. The CDs out there, a lot of times you go to different churches and places and everything, you're paying $5, $6, $7 for a CD. But it's free. All the material out there is, what he said, free. It's free. It's given. Let's move on. Kel's looking at the clock. So number seven, learn how to rest in God. Learn how to rest in God. Isaiah 30 and 15 said, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not." Psalms 116, verse 7 said, "Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with you." So you see, saints of God, learn to rest in God. Sweet rest. Learn to rest in God. Sometimes, like when I was working a regular steady job and everything, sometimes I get home, I'd be so tired, take a shower, just fall on the bed. Tammy come upstairs, "You gonna eat?" I'll be asleep. She'll walk back down the next morning. "Well, I thought you were gonna come down to eat." But you be tired. You get so tired, thanks to God. But if you rest in God's rest, he will give you that sweet rest. You wake up refreshed in the morning. Sometimes, you know, you can work so hard, you can get up the next morning, you're still tired. You still don't want to get up. You have to turn, you know, sideways. Get time for to get to bed, kick it out of bed. Time to go to work. Because you'd be so tired. But in God rest, saints of God, the best rest. That's the type of abundance that you receive when you rest in God rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, it said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and slow in heart, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." So in conclusion, saints of God, as Pastor said, and unplugging, we have seen that it is God's desire that we as born-again Christian walk in the spiritual fullness that calls us to experience an abundant life in him. His desire, as we have seen, is to bountifully satisfy us with the fullness of his house. Not my house. Not Jim's house. Not Larry's house. But God's house. It's just like in his house, you can continue to receive and he will never get empty. But in my house, I continue to give and not replacing. What's going to come? Empty. But God's, no matter what, his house, his storehouse would never run empty. So you see, saints of God, It is up to us to drink and be filled with the Holy Spirit, who bring us his fullness into our life. It is when we fail to drink from his fullness that we experience added demons activity, experience added demonic activity in our life. If our life are full of God and his goodness, Satan doesn't stand much of a chance with us. So let's drink up and experience all that God has for us. Amen. Amen. Amen.